Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Warbirds in Review 2014. My name is Dan Boland. I'm the lead moderator for Warbirds in Review. And this is our 13th year. Hey, how about those reenactors? Don't they do a great job? And how about our wonderful singer, Teresa Iman? Okay, how many of you have seen a Warbirds in Review in previous years? Wow, quite a number. You know, I see some of the same faces here year in and year out. Have you noticed something different this year? Yeah, the Jumbotron. We got a production trailer. We have a production company. And my producer is sitting right here, John Tennyson. Now, he's one half and the founder of Sleeping Dog Productions. And they're the ones that are doing these beautiful videos up here. And you can purchase those videos over in the Warbird merchandise building behind us here or at the museum. And it's a four-volume, wonderful military history lesson, I guess you would say. You can sit for hours and look at, Dick Cole and the Doolittle Raiders, or you can look at Tex Hill, and wow, for 4 hours at a time, times four. So that's a lot of footage. And unfortunately, some of those guys are gone now. So you're looking at history, and it's a wonderful thing. Now, with our new equipment and everything, and also with John telling me what to do now, he has just about demanded that I say who I am and why I'm here. And why I'm here is because of my sister-in-law, Connie. She started this program 13 years ago. And she came to me and she said, I want you to be the moderator. And I said, no, ma'am. I said, I am not comfortable in front of a crowd with a microphone. But as it turned out, she was insistent. And I'm sure glad she was. Because of her foresight and also because of my brother, Ed, I have met some of the most interesting aviators in history. And among them are Tex Hill, Robin Oles, thank you, Bud Anderson, just to name a few. And I'm name dropping. And because I can, Shorty Rankin, Bob Hoover, and what a experience it's been to sit down with those men, have a beer with them or have dinner with them, and just talk about aviation. And I found that all fighter pilots are the same. They all have a wonderful sense of humor. They all fought for their country. They all are great patriots, and they fought for each other. And they're wonderful people, no matter what language they speak, where they're from. I've talked to Russians, talked to Japanese, I've talked to Germans, British, Canadians, U.S. Navy, U.S. Marine Corps, you name it. And what a wonderful thing because of Connie and my brother Ed. By the way, we're sitting in the Ed Boland Memorial Plaza, Warbird Plaza. Ed passed on in March, and I'm glad to be here. Okay, let me ask all you pilots a question. I'm just a pilot like you are, and to follow John's instruction, just to say this, I joined the Tennessee Air National Guard at age 19, and I became an aircraft radial engine mechanic for 2 years, and then I was old enough to go to flight school, and Ed got me a slot to go to flight school, so to speak. Each state only got two slots per year, and he was flying with the adjutant general for the state, and he put in a word for me, so guess who got one of the slots? So I'm a lucky guy. You know, back 77 years ago, the great Yankee great Hall of Famer Lou Gehrig stood at Yankee Stadium, and he said, today, I guess I'm the luckiest man alive, and that's me. compose myself a little bit. After I got my wings, a year later, I was an airline pilot. went to work for Southern Airways, flying the Martin 404. Yeah, little old two-engine prop piston airplane. And one of my first stops was at Tupelo, Mississippi. And when I retired in 2003 from Northwest Airlines, I was flying the 747-400, and one of my last stops was to Tokyo. So I guess my journey is Tupelo to Tokyo, an airman's journey. That's who I am. I flew the B-17 for EAA for 20 years, and I retired this year. Let somebody else have some fun, okay? I've been to 47 out of the lower 48 with the B-17. I've flown over the Grand Canyon. I've flown over the Golden Gate Bridge, down all three seacoasts. What a wonderful country we have. Okay, all you pilots, you flew your bonanzas up here, your RVs, you camp out under the wings. Why do you think you have your freedom to do that? Anybody want to answer that? No? Because you can't do that in any other country in the world. I got some friends here from Germany I'm going to introduce you to in a few minutes. But you can't just walk in and get in your airplane and go somewhere. You have to sign all kinds of government papers. You have to pay big exorbitant fees. There's no just hopping in your plane and going. Only here can you do that. And why do you have that freedom? I'll tell you why. Because of the veterans who paid for it, sometimes with their life. And now I'd like all the veterans in the audience to stand and be recognized. All veterans, all wars. Stand and be recognized. Now, everybody, please be seated, except the Vietnam veterans. All Vietnam veterans, please remain standing. Everybody else, thank you for your service, and God bless you. Now, Vietnam veterans, listen to me. Listen to me carefully. You'll notice I'm still standing, too, because I'm one of you. And my brothers and sisters, after this program, we have a little presentation for you. I've got some nice medallions for you. So be sure and stay. Don't leave after the program, and we've got a little gift for you. Okay? Everybody, thank you for your service. God bless you. Now, the other half of Sleeping Dog Productions and the founder is Scott Guyette. Now, he's up in the control booth up here, running all the computers, computer graphics. He's the director and also the head videographer. And I think these two guys with Sleeping Dog are the best in the country. And they're from right over here at Green Lake, Wisconsin. So you've got something to be proud of, all you Wisconsinites, or whatever you call yourselves. I don't know. Anyway, this trailer was not paid for. I'm sorry, the truck was not paid for with EA money. It was paid for strictly by donations. And all of those wonderful people that donate, sometimes a lot of money, are listed on that banner at the bottom of that banner over there. And a lot of the donations come from individuals or companies. And this used to be Scott's Warbird Alley right now for the Scott Lawn Products Company, Jim Hagedorn's company. And Jim is here this week. And Ron Fagan is sitting right there. Ron and Diane Fagan, stand please. That's Ron and Diane, who are the owners of this beautiful B-25 behind us. Okay. Starting down on the far end down here is Ron and Diane's son, Evan Fagan. Evan, welcome.
Thank you.
Evan is the chief pilot of this airplane. Now, he's a young guy, and, you know, compared to us, you-know-whats. And anyway, that's what we're trying to do here is to generate some history buffs that are young, and they can go around and teach young people about what happened 70 years ago, or in this case, 72 years ago. So that's what we're doing. We're trying to educate young people. And I see quite a few young people here, and man, I want you to start studying up because I know they don't teach it in a lot of schools nowadays, so we need to do that. Educate as many young people as possible. Keep the freedom going because we keep the history going, okay? That's the goal. Now, Evan, I'd like you to tell us about your museum in Granite Falls, Minnesota. Tell us all about it.
Okay, we have a museum in Granite Falls, Minnesota that was opened June of 2012. Ron and Diane, my parents, started this museum just because of that reason, to educate the younger generation. So they understand what the greatest generation did for us, and there's a lot of kids now that aren't connected with the greatest generation. So it's important to us and our family to make sure that the young kids and adults remember all the sacrifices of World War II and the people that participated in that. And that's how the museum came about. My grandpa was in the 4th Infantry, first wave of the Normandy invasion on Utah Beach. And he was a very quiet guy, never talked about it, but he would tell stories once in a while and you'd listen to it. So I feel I have a connection to it. And my kids and my nephew sitting over there, my son Connor and nephew Ethan, are warbird buffs and they understand about it, but they're not the normal young kids. So it's important to educate the young kids. And our museum, like I said, started in June of 2012. So we're going on our second year, and we have a number of World War II fighters and trainers, and now the B-25, and different exhibits so people can see firsthand the real authentic World War II equipment, ground vehicles. We have ground vehicles, ambulances, motorcycle, a lot of artifacts and stuff like that. So a lot of school tours come through there, and young kids, and you know, it's important to us to make sure the younger generation understands why they're here and have these freedoms we have today.
You have an authentic Neeson hut, and those of you that don't know what that is, it's a semicircular metal building that the Army Air Corps had thousands of all over the European continent. And it's patterned after the 357th Fighter Group briefing room, which is Colonel Bud Anderson's fighter group. Bud, are you here? I saw him a few minutes ago. I don't know if he's in the audience or not. He's probably hiding out. But anyway, out in front of your museum, Evan, you have a statue of someone, right?
Yeah, we have a statue of Bud there. And again, my parents thought that would be a neat tribute to Bud. When we were building the museum, Ron and Diane reached out to Bud to see if we could get some information from him so we could make an authentic example of a briefing room in Quonset. And he sent a lot of information over to him, and we did a lot of the design based off of what he was in and they used for briefing Quonset. And then we had our Ray Fagan Memorial Air Show when the museum opened up, and Bud was there with us, and as was Old Crow, which was really neat. And he was there when we dedicated a statue to him, and that was a really neat moment. And there was a crew chief, I don't think it was specifically Bud's, but from the 357th that happened to be there, that came running up when we did the statue, and they kind of got reunited there. And it was a really neat moment. But Bud's a neat guy. He's helped our family out in a lot of the things our museum has done, and he's an outstanding person, and we're lucky to know him.
Well, I tell you what, Bud's a wonderful guy, and I'm so happy he's here kicking. He's like the Energizer Bunny. He's 92, but he goes somewhere just about every weekend giving a talk, talking to schools, making a presentation. He's just a great guy, Bud Anderson.